Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Cameroon kicked off a big campaign Sunday for fans to be tested and vaccinated against COVID-19 to fill stadiums in the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé.
This is the deafening noise of vuvuzelas from thousands of football fans outside Yaoundé's 42,000-seat Amadou Ahidjo Stadium. The vuvuzela is a long horn blown by fans to support their teams at matches. Among the fans is Sylvie Dinui, a 21-year-old university student. Dinui says COVID-19 restrictions imposed by organizers of the Africa Football Cup of Nations make it impossible for her and her peers to get into the stadium to support African football.
I have been blocked because I have not done my COVID-19 test and I have not been vaccinated. I would have loved to watch the Morocco-Comoros match at the Amadou Ahidjo Stadium. Morocco is my favorite team.
Dinui and football fans outside the stadium say but for COVID-19, thousands of people would have been present in stadiums to support African men's soccer as they did when Cameroon hosted Women's AFCON in 2016. In 2016, the Confederation of African Football congratulated Cameroon for the massive turnout of fans when the Central African State hosted the Women's AFCON. This year, the Confederation said only fans who show proof that they have received COVID-19 vaccines and proof of negative COVID-19 test results no more than 24 hours old will be allowed into stadiums. Cameroon says spectator turnout at stadiums since AFCON began on January 9 in Cameroon is very sparse. The government says a maximum of 3,000 fans and supporters turned out in the 20,000-seat stadiums in Limbe and Bafoussam. More than 10,000 supporters turned out at the 32,000-seat stadium in Garoua, a northern commercial town. Fewer than 15,000 watched matches at the 60,000-seat Japoma Stadium in Douala, Cameroon's commercial hub. Cameroonian football officials say strict COVID-19 measures make it impossible for fans to have access to the stadiums. Bafoussam hosts Pool B AFCON matches. Augustin Awa Fonka is governor of Cameroon's West Region, where Bafoussam is located. Awa said on Sunday he launched a campaign for people to get COVID-19 tests and vaccines so they could have access to the stadium.
During the first match, they did not know certain entry conditions. This time around, everybody is sensitized and everybody is mobilized and prepared to watch these great encounters. Tickets are already available at the various sales points. So the population are invited to go there and obtain their tickets.
Awa said as an incentive, the government is providing free transportation to stadiums for people who are vaccinated and show proof of negative COVID-19 test results. He said Cameroonian Prime Minister Joseph John Goute on Saturday asked workers and students who meet conditions to leave their offices and schools by 2 p.m. instead of 4 p.m. to attend matches. He says the permission given by Ngute for workers and students to leave their offices early ends on February 6, when AFCON is expected to end. Before the tournament began on January 9, Cameroon said thousands of fans were rushing to get their vaccines, but that vaccine hesitancy in the country is still quite high. The Public Health Ministry says 4,000 people all over Cameroon have received the vaccine since AFCON started, and that number is too low to bring out a massive fan turnout. The ministry says fewer than 5% of its targeted 16 million people have been vaccinated. Cameroon has about 26 million people. In addition, separatists have vowed to disrupt the games in Boya and Limbe, both English-speaking towns, hosting football fans, players and match officials for group matches for teams from Gambia, Mali, Mauritania and Tunisia. Last week, Cameroon reported that only about 3,000 supporters and fans turned out at the 20,000-seat Limbe Stadium during matches. Limbe is hosting football fans, players and match officials for group matches for teams from Gambia, Mali, Mauritania and Tunisia. The military said separatists increased attempts to infiltrate Limbe and disrupt the games. It says separatists frustrated over their inability to disrupt AFCON matches in Limbe have attacked civilians in neighboring towns, including Boya. However, the government says troops will protect all civilians threatened by separatists over attending matches. The government says civilians should turn out en masse for COVID-19 tests and vaccinations so they can watch matches, and that civilians in English-speaking towns should help the military by reporting intruders who want to see stadiums empty. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Thanks, Moki. Joining us now from Cameroon with more Nations Cup news is Samson Omale. Sporty Nations Cup greetings, Samson.
Sporty Nations Cup greetings to you, Sonny. It was a day of surprises in Cameroon as the second round of group stage matches came to an end on Sunday at the 33rd edition of the African Cup of Nations. Defending champions Algeria saw their 35-game winning streak broken by a 1-0 loss to Equatorial Guinea, while underdog Sierra Leone came back from behind to tie with Ivory Coast. Algeria, the defending champions, were unable to find a way back into the contest as Equatorial Guinea held on for their first win in the group and move up to second spot in the group. Algeria coach Jamel Belmadi is promising that his team will not go out of the competition without fighting despite playing the last game against Ivory Coast.
Obviously, it will be, a tough game because of Ivory Coast national team. Great team. Great individual players playing in different leagues in Europe. And even because we are in this situation, 1 point after two games, it's not, of course, what we was expecting. But, of course, we will never accept to go out of this tournament without giving everything.
Meanwhile, newcomers, the Gambia, continue to amaze, pulling off a 1-1 tie with Mali thanks to a last-minute penalty. Two late penalties awarded after intervention by the video assistant referee saw first-time participants Gambia and fellow West African neighbors Mali stay joint top of the Group F standings. Tom Sinfield, Gambia's coach, sued for more support for the team ahead of their last group game.
Hi, Scorpions fans. 4 points after six games. We are sure or almost sure in the second round. Please keep on supporting us. Together we can write more history.
Sierra Leone netted a dramatic equalizer with virtually the last kick of the game to salvage a 2-2 draw against Ivory Coast in Group E. Sebastian Haller gave the Ivorians the lead before Moussa Noah Kamara equalized 10 minutes after halftime. Arsenal star Nicolas Pepe looked to have scored the winner with his 65th minute strike. However, Elephants goalkeeper Badra Sangare made a holer in the 93rd minute to allow Alhaji Kamara to tap in from 3 yards. Sierra Leone are in second position with 2 points after two draws from two matches, while Ivory Coast have 4 points and are top, but still not assured of qualification for the last 16, while the Lone Stars will qualify if they beat Equatorial Guinea in their final group game. Sierra Leone, Osman Jovan Kaki, Kier Kamara, and Steven Koka speaks of their performance so far.
I feel surreal, but it's obviously one of our targets. We didn't just come here to be involved, we came here to compete. So hopefully we can get the job done in the next game.
It's special, and we have to celebrate this, you know? I mean, that's how we've been doing it. We are here in this tournament. It's been 25 years, and now finally we're here again. So we have to celebrate every game by game.
I only just recently joined up a few months ago, so it's so exciting to be here. I love being a part of the group. I also want to give a shout out to the guys who helped get us here and haven't made the squad, because everyone's played their part, you know. So it really is a team effort, and we're just enjoying every bit of it.
The last game on Sunday saw Tunisia keeping their hopes of progressing to the last 16 alive with a 4-0 drubbing of Mauritania in Group F. The Tunisians raced into a 2-0 lead with just 6 minutes gone through Hamza Matluti and Wahib Khazri before Khazri got his second after the break and Sefidin Jazri added the fourth. The Carthage Eagles of Tunisia are in third but will qualify with a win over second place Gambia in their final game, while Mauritania exit the competition with no points to their name. Carlos Queiroz, the Egyptian coach, believes all the teams in the 2021 AFCON are equal.
African Cup of Nations, all the teams, they are equal. We respect all of them. In order to win, we need to be the best team on the pitch.
Yassin Hamid is a Sudanese captain. His team will be meeting Egypt in their next final game in the group stages. He says they are determined and are not afraid of any team in AFCON.
We can beat everybody. Here in African Cup, everybody can beat everybody. It's not about you play against top players. We can win also.
Staying with the African Cup of Nations, the second round of matches in the group stage ended on Sunday with a total of 29 goals scored. This is an improvement of the 12 goals recorded in 12 matches in the opening round of the 33rd African Cup of Nations. Some journalists covering the Nations Cup here in Cameroon have been speaking to the Sunny Side of Sports on possible reasons why there appears to be a goal drought in the Nations Cup.
Well, the second round of matches have been better than the first round of matches. I mean, in the first round, I think only one team scored. 12 goals were scored. Only one country scored more than 2 goals in a particular game. But in the second round of games, we've seen a couple of countries scored more than two. Nigeria scored 3. Cameroon scored 3. I think the second round was much better than the first round. And I'm hoping that this third round of matches will be better than the first two. Maybe initially it was difficult for the players to settle down initially, but things are getting better. We're seeing the best of this AFCON so far. I am 100% sure that we're going to see much more better performance from the players starting from the third round.
The reason I think is that some teams, they are having some of their new players, the old ones, some of them, they are played, they are tired coming from Europe. They might not, we may not be seeing their best yet. So I think that may cause that.
Because we are playing physically football. There shouldn't be more goal when you are playing physical football. It should be maybe 2-1 or 1-0. But at the same time, our footballers are tired.
Well, if you notice, the first round of matches, we didn't have too many goals. I can add that to the fact that most of these countries had their players so late to the competition coming down because of the COVID and restriction from some of these clubs. But the second matches, if you notice, we have 4 goals, 3 goals, and the likes in a single match. Sierra Leone game yesterday, it was 2-2. And then Nigeria game, 3-1. Cameroon has been giving us at least 3 goals in all their matches since the start of the competition. So let's see the final round matches and see how much goals we have. But I think going into the competition, we might still likely have to have good draft, maybe in the quarterfinal and of 16, because everybody will be more conscious of that.
You've been listening to some reporters in Cameroon covering the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament. And thanks to Samson Omale for that spicy Nations Cup package. Three-time African champion Nigeria beat Sudan Saturday 3-1 to advance to the round of 16 at the Nations Cup. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye called Garowa, Cameroon, where he reached the chief football writer at aclsports.com, Fisayo Dairo.
It was a good game, and at least it was one of the occasions where we had up to 4 goals in a game in this competition. Goals have been very hard to come by in this AFCON tournament, so I'm sure for the neutrals, we'll have enjoyed that 4-goal thriller. Yeah, for the Super Eagles, they were the favorites for that particular game, and they made it count with 2 first-half goals and another one early in the second half. They were home and dry, and although the Sudanese tried to force their way back into the game with a 78-minute penalty, we all knew that it was always going to be difficult for them to muster something out of it. The Super Eagles knew all they had to do was to win to advance to the round of 16, and they did that very convincingly. So it was something that was expected. It was a straightforward game. And for the Nigerians, they join the other teams that have progressed to the round of 16 after just two matches.
Can you compare the Super Eagles game against the Pharaohs of Egypt with the one they played against Sudan?
Well, no two games are really the same, like they say. And we could see easily that the win against Sudan was different from the one against Egypt for the Super Eagles. Against Egypt, I think they attached it with greater urgency. The Nigerians showed incredible speed and dexterity. But against Sudan, they were a little bit relaxed, especially getting a goal in the third minute, courtesy of Samuel Chukwueze. The Nigerians tried to take it simple, take it gently. They knew they had the game under wraps and just tried to create chances sporadically, although they were denied on a number of occasions. But by the time they got that second goal on the dot of halftime from Taiwo Awoniyi, they knew they were home and dry. So it was different in the sense that against Egypt, it was a game that they really, really went all out for because they knew they were playing a top African nation. But against Sudan, they approached it as a game they knew they were playing against a team that would be forced to go into the two low blocks, that would be forced to recede whenever the Nigerians have the ball, and you have to be very cautious when you play against such teams. All in all, it was another comfortable win for the Super Eagles.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Garoua, Cameroon.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us once again for a look at the weekend highlights in English Premier League football. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. With the trio of Senegalese speedster Sadio Mane, Guinean midfielder Naby Keita, and Egyptian playmaker Mo Salah still at the 2022 African Cup of Nations, Liverpool were still able to register a 3-0 victory over Brentford at Anfield, thanks to goals from Fabinho, Oxlade-Chamberlain, and substitute Takumi Minamino. Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp was pleased by his side's performance against the Bees.
I'm actually over the moon. To be honest, if the situation with Oxlade wouldn't have happened, like then I would be even, I don't know, over the Mars or whatever, because it's so difficult to play against Brentford. It's really uncomfortable because the way they play against us, it felt like the ball was 20 minutes in the air today. And so you cannot control the game in these moments. It's always 50-50, 50-50, 50-50, and we had to bring the ball down to the ground and play from there. And I really thought, on top of that, we have to avoid set pieces for them because they have like 250 routines different and makes life uncomfortable as well. And that, all these little things, we did really well.
There's Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp hailing his team who registered an emphatic victory against Brentford. The Reds are now back to the second spot, 2 points above Chelsea, who suffered a narrow 1-0 loss to leaders Manchester City, thanks to Kevin De Bruyne's 70th-minute turner. The victory marked City's 12th league win in a row, earning them praise from their boss Pep Guardiola.
Absolutely well-deserved for the intention, for the 1-0, impressing for the last minutes. So we cannot expect half 10, 12 chances against that team. He's the European champion, so you are in the touchline and you realize how incredible they are, how in duels, how aggressive they are. And there is a football, so they wait in a transition to punish us, and we scored a goal in a transition. But well-deserved, so big compliment for the team.
Meanwhile, Felipe Coutinho scored and assisted on his debut to help Aston Villa fight back from 2-2 to earn a 2-2 draw against Manchester United at Villa Park. Bruno Fernandes was sensational, scoring a brace for Manchester United, despite the absence of his Portuguese teammate and five-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo due to injury. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta.
Thanks, Prince. Turning to tennis, first round action began Monday at the Australian Open in Melbourne without defending men's champion Novak Djokovic, who was deported over the weekend. Phil Mercer will report on Djokovic's deportation. But first, Here's Craig Gabriel with some Monday results.
What a pleasure it's been in Melbourne. The Australian Open has started and the focus of attention has been on what it should have been all along, and that is the tennis. The distraction of Novak Djokovic is behind now. On court is way better than in court. The world number one got off to a flying start in her home major. Ash Barty wasted no time against Lesia Sorenko, who came through the qualifying rounds. Barty took only 54 minutes to win 6-love, 6-1. She was leading 6-love, 5-love and had match point, and I asked her if she ever felt sorry for an opponent.
At that given time, I'm thinking it's just the next point over and over. Obviously, what I was doing was working and continuing to try and do the right things. I have no regard for the score in a sense of or putting any extra value on a certain point just because it is match point or whatever the scoreline may be. I try and keep it very process-orientated as much as I can.
Defending champion Naomi Osaka wasn't troubled too much. She accounted for Camila Osorio from Colombia, 6-3, 6-3. Osaka is looking more comfortable in herself, and while that's good for women's tennis, it's even better for her after the trials she went through last year. Rafa Nadal made quick work of American Marcos Giron, 6-1, 6-4, 6-2, and he was asked if the comebacks get harder. This is yet another following foot surgery and a bout of COVID.
Of course, when you are getting a little bit older, all the combats are tougher. And these have been especially difficult because it's not only a comeback from an injury, you know, it's a comeback trying to be back on the tour. Often, after almost 2 years playing not many events with the virus.
American Sebastian Corda, whose father won this title, stunned the 12th seed Cameron Norrie, 6-3, 6-love, 6-4. That's a terrific result, considering it was very recently that Corda was positive. Husband and wife team Gael Monfils and Elias Svitolina had wins, and coming up on day two will be the balance of round one matches. U.S. Open champion Daniil Medvedev will spearhead the men's encounters, which will include Stefanos Tsitsipas. The highlight men's match is Andy Murray against Nicolas Basilashvili. And in the women's, we'll see Garbiñe Muguruza and Iga Świątek on court, with the highlight match being U.S. Open champion Emma Raducanu against newly married American Sloane Stephens. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Melbourne.
Thanks, Craig. Let's stay in Melbourne, where Phil Mercer filed this report on the deportation of world number one tennis player Novak Djokovic.
Novak Djokovic's supporters believe he's been unfairly treated by Australia after arriving in Melbourne last week. They said his deportation was inhumane and outrageous after the Chief Justice of the Federal Court of Australia, James Allsop, rejected Djokovic's last-ditch attempt to remain in the country.
The orders of the court are, one, the amended application be dismissed with costs, two, reasons to be published at a later date. Those are the orders of the court.
The Serbian tennis player was granted a medical waiver from Australia's COVID-19 vaccination rules by two independent health panels set up by the Victoria State Government and Australian tennis authorities. Djokovic had been infected with the virus in December. However, his visa was cancelled when he arrived at Melbourne Airport January 5 by Border Force officials, who said he'd flouted immigration rules. He was sent to an immigration detention hotel in Melbourne. His visa was reinstated by an Australian judge on Monday, but it was revoked for a second time by Immigration Minister Alex Hawke on Friday. Djokovic isn't inoculated against COVID-19, and Hawke asserted that his presence in Australia would stir anti-vaccination sentiment, and cancelled his visa on health and public interest grounds. The tennis champion's lawyers insisted the government's argument was irrational and illogical. The three federal court judges unanimously disagreed, and Djokovic's appeal Sunday was dismissed. Victoria State Premier Daniel Andrews said the Australian Open will not be diminished by the Serbian player's absence.
This Grand Slam tournament, one of the big four, is much bigger than any one person. Much bigger. That's why it's a Grand Slam. That's why it's the biggest thing in tennis in the first quarter of every year.
Djokovic has won the Australian Open title 9 times. Had he triumphed at this year's tournament, he would have become the most successful men's Grand Slam champion with 21 titles. Before he left Australia, he said in a statement that he was extremely disappointed with the court ruling, but he respected the decision and would cooperate with the relevant authorities in relation to my departure from the country. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Melbourne.
Thanks, Phil. For more reaction to Novak Djokovic's deportation, we're joined now by VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Novak Djokovic returned to a hero's welcome in Serbia on Monday, following the Australian Federal Court's unanimous decision to cancel his visa. The ruling ended Djokovic's hopes of defending his Australian Open title and achieving a record-breaking 21 Grand Slams. It also put an end to days of drama that collided Australia's COVID-19 entry rules with Djokovic's unvaccinated status. Following the court's decision, Australia's Foreign Minister Maurice Payne told reporters the process was conducted with complete transparency and in accordance with the rule of law.
Rules are rules, and there are not convenient exceptions for individuals in this case. These are very important matters of border protection and they're matters that we take very seriously.
Payne added that despite Djokovic's deportation, she is confident Australia's positive bilateral relationship with Serbia will continue on strong footing. In a show of support for their native son, the tallest skyscraper in the Serbian capital, Belgrade, was illuminated with the country's national colors and a message that read, "Novak, you are the pride of Serbia." Djokovic has expressed his disappointment for being unable to compete in this year's Australian Open tournament. But on opening day, various tennis fans expressed their relief that the saga is now behind them.
I'm relieved. That should have been organised before he came to Australia. So I'm glad it's all over.
Decision making, I think it was kind of dragged on a little bit too long. But it's great that we can kind of put that behind us.
I wanted to see him play, but
we both had tickets tonight to Rob there and see him. We won't be seeing him, but we wanted to see him. But we understand the position of the government and respect it.
Be a little bit sorry for him, but he, gives other players to get on with the job.
Oh, no, I wish Djokovic could have played, but, it is what it is.
Well, I'm just glad the focus is now on what we're all here for, the Australian Open.
With the deportation, Djokovic faces an automatic 3-year ban from entering Australia. However, the country's prime minister has left the door open to the possibility for the world number one to compete in 2023. In the meantime, Djokovic could face more trouble at his next Grand Slam event. On Sunday, the French parliament gave final approval to more restrictive measures against COVID-19. The new vaccine pass law would exclude anyone who is unvaccinated from entering venues, including sports arenas. That law would bar Djokovic from competing in the French Open tournament in May, and the sports ministry has said no exemptions will be considered. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Finally, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Kip Keino, the man who's been called the father of Kenyan distance running. The 2-time Olympic champion is celebrating his 82nd birthday on this Monday. Kip Keino is credited with inspiring many of Kenya's athletes to follow in his footsteps, helping make Kenya one of the world powers in long-distance running. Happy 82nd birthday, Kip Keino. And that wraps up the January 17th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington.
get it.
And that's the sunny side of sports.